Anybody? A few fishers out there. That's good. I see that. That's nice to know. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the parables, some parables about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And the very first week, we looked at a story, a parable that Jesus told, that there was a treasure that was buried in a field. A man found it, he reburied it, and then he sold everything that he had, and he was so excited to have that, he left everything that he had to have that particular treasure. The treasure, of course, is the kingdom of God. And then the next week, we talked about the mustard seed, something so small, and yet something that could grow and do amazing things. In fact, that mustard seed we spoke of was about 6 to 10 feet tall, that it could become that way. So that was an exciting thing that we learned. And we realized from that God's kingdom can do amazing things, even with just a little bit. Then last week we talked about the kingdom of God that was planted, the sower of the seeds, and how it fell on different types of soil, and that when it fell on good soil, then it was able to sprout up and grow in someone's heart because of what Jesus was doing in that heart. And today we're going to take a look at one final parable about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and I want you to think about that imagery of fishing this morning. That's why I started with that question. How many of you like to fish? So when you think about fishing, that's something that we all kind of grew up with, at least I did. When I went fishing, though, I probably did more casting than I did fishing. So, you know, you throw out, you know, the line, and you're just constantly reeling it in, and your dad or your grandpa or your mom or somebody is saying to you the whole time that you're doing that, hey, be patient, just leave it out there, don't do anything, let the fish bite. But little kids aren't very patient, so you just keep doing things like that. It's one of the favorite pastimes here in our country, that people go out and fish and enjoy that time with family. You know, putting worms on the hook, you put minnows, crickets, any kind of things that you think you can use in order to get a fish to bite so that you can reel it in and to have supper that night. And the goal is when you go fishing that you're going to catch something, right? And the goal of fishing in biblical times was to throw out a net and to catch as many fish as possible, and that you're using the right kind of bait when you do that. So usually, you have to be in the right place at the right time. And there's various fish stories about how, you know, and where that might be. And if anybody finds a good fishing hole, you usually don't tell anybody about it. It's something that you kind of keep to yourself because, you know, that's your spot, and that's where you've caught several fish before. And so it's making sure that when you cast that line out there that you're putting something on it that's going to entice that fish. That's something that's going to make them want to come to that line. The first point I want to make this morning is that God is a fisherman. God is a fisherman. This parable that we're going to look at here in just a moment tells us that. It tells us that the kingdom of God is like a net. And there are multiple instances throughout the scripture where Jesus is trying to give us examples. And we've looked at those the last few weeks. Give us examples of what the kingdom of heaven, what the kingdom of God is like. He always begins that way. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of God is like. And he gives us those examples so that we can be part of it, so we can understand as best as humanly possible what it's all about, what it is all about. And so we are ready for our scripture lesson this morning from Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 50, the parable of the net. This is Jesus speaking in his words. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected all the good fish in the baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In this scripture passage, Jesus is presenting God, his Father, as a master fisherman. A master fisherman. And the goal of fishing in the Bible, as I mentioned, is to catch as many fish as possible, to cast that net out, to catch all of those fish. Now, this is a different kind of fishing than we are used to. For, as I said in the beginning, a lot of the time when I would go fishing, it was a rod and reel, and there was a little bobber on the end of it. It was usually red and white. But you know what? Later on, as I got older, you could buy fluorescent bobbers. Those things were cool. And they had like little sticks on the top of them, and they'd kind of stick up a little higher, and you could see them a little bit more clearly when they were being bit upon, and then they would bounce up and down, of course. But the kind of fishing that is taking place here in the Bible is not that kind of fishing. It's a kind of fishing that is done with a net. And the people in Scripture that Jesus was speaking to would be familiar with that kind of fishing because that's what they did then. It had weights on it, and so when you threw it over the side of your boat, then those weights would pull or drag that net down deeper into the water, and they would the fishermen would hold on to it at some point by a line, and they would hopefully bring in a great big bunch of fish when they started pulling it in. And in this case, they pulled it into the shore, but they could also pull it into the boat. And so that's what was happening here. They worked as a team. They worked together to bring about as many fish into the net as possible. Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like that net. He uses that imagery for us. It says to me, and I believe that what the scripture is saying here, is that Jesus cares about all people. He desires to catch as many people as possible. His goal is to get as many people as possible inside the net. It doesn't matter who they are at that point. It doesn't matter what they've done or not done. He's pulling as many as he can to get them inside that net. And as you heard from the scripture, later on there'll be a separation of the fish, but that's not the goal right now. The goal right now is to get as many of the fish in there as possible. Of course, we know that the fish are representative of people. And so God cares about reaching people, and the idea is that they would come to understanding of salvation through Jesus Christ. But verse 47 is very important, because it says that once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that is let down in the lake and caught all kinds of fish. All kinds of fish, many different varieties of fish. Meaning that there's different kinds of people in the world. There's different varieties of people, different colors of people, different religions of people. And Jesus is trying to catch all of them and to bring them in at this point. And he's telling us to do the same thing. Because Jesus was sent to this world on a rescue mission, really. He was sent to rescue us from sin and death. He is sent to bring us back to a relationship with his Father God. He was sent here so that we could have the experience and kingdom of God when that time came when he called us home. So he was sent here not to pick and choose, because his goal was never to bring about condemnation upon us, but to share the love of God with us. I said this many, many times. Many people know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and so on. But the John 3:17 talks about God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him should be saved. That is why he came. That is why Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And so this parable that is before us today shows us how relentless God is, how he never gives up. He keeps on working. He keeps on fishing for us. He keeps on trying to get that relationship with each and every one of us. And yes, there is a sorting process that happens. And we're going to talk about that briefly this morning. What that means is that the fish that they keep, once they bring that net to the shore, and the people, the representative of that, are the people that have given their lives to Jesus Christ, that have said, like Sabrina did this morning, I want to follow Jesus Christ. I have decided to do that, and I'm going to keep doing that all the remaining days of my life. They responded to the overwhelming message of God's grace and goodness and forgiveness and his love for them. These are the individuals who will spend all eternity with Jesus Christ. But in that same section of Scripture, that last little part of it there, it says some of them will be thrown away. Some of them will be put into the fiery furnace. They're separated by the angels of God, Jesus says here. These are the ones, I want to make very clear here, it's not God, it's not the angels that are deciding on throwing people out and who gets to go to heaven and who doesn't. That's on us. That's our decision. God gives us the free will to make that decision on our own. We have the ability to either accept or reject Jesus Christ. And so the ones that are thrown out, the ones that are put into the fiery furnace, those are the ones that will be separated from God for all eternity. They will be thrown into the fiery furnace. And they are the ones that have rejected salvation. They are the ones who have rejected the message of God. The second point I wish to make this morning is that fish, that all of us should fish like life or someone's life depends upon it. Fish like someone's life depends upon it. Jesus chose ordinary people to fish. You can't really get much more ordinary. And it's always struck me that Jesus and God have always chosen ordinary, everyday people to follow him. These fishermen were no different. These fishermen were ordinary people who did extraordinary things, who came to this world to turn it upside down for the cause of Christ and for the kingdom of God. God is not looking for someone that is theologically educated, someone who is smart or whatever. It doesn't matter. God is looking for a willing heart. God is looking for someone that has a hammer, that has a skill, that can go in and help do something for someone. God is looking for someone to help clothe those that need clothing. God is looking for someone to feed those who need feeding. He's looking for someone to share their faith with a stranger who needs to hear the saving message of Jesus Christ. He's looking for people that have financial resources that can help fund missions and serve other people in other countries as well as right here at home. He's looking for someone who can bake a casserole and take over to someone's house when they've lost a loved one. God is looking for all kinds of people to carry out his mission of fishing in this world. You don't have to have a seminary education. You don't have to have the entire Bible memorized. You just have to have a willing heart to serve him. And that's what these fishermen that I'm going to share about here in a minute just did as well. This parable, in some ways, feels like a harsh lesson, doesn't it? Because it seems cruel that some of the people will enter into the kingdom of heaven for all eternity, and some will not. It seems cruel. However, we must remember that it is God who desires to save the world. It is God who is the one that wants all of us to be with him for all eternity. And we are the ones that have to make the decision of where we want to go. Now, in a minute, I'm going to share another scripture with you, but it's about Jesus again, and it's about him walking along the Sea of Galilee. and which he would have been, there would have been all kinds of fishermen all around, and they would have been tending their nets, and they would have been counting their catch. And there he stumbles across some ordinary men. If you turn with me in your scriptures to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 18 and 20, we'll find the scripture there. And this is Jesus calling his very first disciples, two of them here that we're going to talk about. He also calls two others very quickly thereafter. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets, and they followed him. Excuse me. Jesus is giving these fishermen an invitation. The invitation is simple. Come on, go with me. Come, follow me. The invitation is simple. Come and spend time with me. Come, let's worship together. Come, be a part of the kingdom of God. I want to be your rabbi. I want to be your teacher. I would like for you to be a follower of me. I would like for you to be a student or a disciple. Now, the goal of Jesus inviting these people was not just so that they knew what the rabbi knew, so they could teach to test, so to speak, but so that they would know, not only know, but do what the rabbi, what the teacher was teaching them to do. The same is true for us today. We have a lot of knowledge in our world today. We have access to more knowledge than ever before. In this country and in this world, there is so much that we have at our fingertips, and yet we don't always use it. Jesus came into the world to spread the net. Jesus came in the world to say to us, "Come and follow me, and I will make you too fishers of people. Cast your net wide and bring them in. Help me reach the world." And so the brothers leave their nets. This is what I always think is really amazing, that they leave it. Just like the other story we spoke about a few weeks ago, the very first week, the man that sold everything that he had to buy this great treasure. We also heard about a rich man. And we found out that he was told to go sell all of his possessions. And he couldn't do it. And the Bible says that he went away sad. We heard about all kinds of things like that. These men were also fishing, but they weren't just fishing for a hobby, for pleasure. They were fishing because this was their livelihood. This is how they made a living. This is how they ate. This is how they paid their bills. This is how they fed their family. And they left it all to follow Jesus at the simple invitation to come and follow. I wonder how many of us would do the same. He is asking each and every one of us to fish, for us to go out and accept his invitation as well. I ask you this morning, how is it that you are fishing for people? Where is it that you're casting your net? How is First Baptist Church fishing for people? How is First Baptist Church casting its net? Are we willing to share this kingdom of God that we all are part of with this community? I think the answer is yes, in many ways. There are many things that we try to do here to reach our community. And yet, it all boils down, and what we heard yesterday at the convention that we were at, was it all boils down to relationships. People want to be with other people. People you know desire to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They may not know it yet, but God is calling you to help them to see it, to help them to understand it. We have something that the world is in desperate need of. Do you believe that? I do. And we know that there are people out there that are still willing to hear that message if we simply go out and tell them about it. Quick story, and then we'll be finished. There was a young salesman, and he was very disappointed that he had lost a large sale. And so he went to his sales manager, and he lamented to him. He said, "I guess this proves that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink." And the manager replied, looked at him, and he said, "Son, take my advice. Your job is not to make them drink. Your job is to make them thirsty. Your job is to make them thirsty." And so it is with us in sharing our faith. It is not our job to make them drink, but it is our job to show them by the way in which we live that they are thirsty for something that they don't even know they need yet. By your example, by the way you live your life, by the way you treat your spouse, by the way you spend your resources, by the way in which you worship and sacrifice for God and His kingdom, by the way in which you work and that you're honest in your work. People see that. They know that you are a Christ follower if you've lived that way. And if you have and you've made those mistakes, they see them. We must understand that it is our job to share the story, not to make them drink. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. That is the job of the person that's hearing the message, to whether they accept it or reject it, whether or not they're going to be kept or whether they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's their decision, but that decision will be made. We find ourselves here this morning caught in the grace of Almighty God. We live our lives in that way. We need to show people that we are living our lives in that way. The world sees what we have, and I believe that there are still some out there today that want what we also have, what we have as well. I believe that. And we share how God has changed our lives and that He can do the same for them, much like Dale shared this morning, very simply, with us about how he benefited and his wife benefited from the Financial Peace University. It made a difference in his life, and he told you about that. He wants to share that with you. The same way as it is with our faith in Jesus Christ. It has changed our lives radically, and the way in which we live, and the way in which we give ourselves to others, and love our neighbors, and love our enemies. We need to tell other people about that and show them. And so I ask you this question this morning: how are you going to live your life so that others will see Jesus in you? Friends, you and I are the net in this story. You and I are the disciples in this story. And Jesus is saying to us, cast that net wide. Catch as many fish as you can. I'll take care of sorting it all out later. That's not your job. And you know what? You know what, friends? And listen closely to this. We do too much sorting here on this earth on our own. And it's not our job. It is not our job to figure out who's right and who's wrong and who's going to get into heaven and who's not. I guarantee you, and I'm saying this to myself today too, there will be a lot of people there that you would have never allowed in if it was up to you. And there will be a lot of people that you expect to see there, and goodness gracious, you may never find them. Because God knows the heart. It is not our job to separate. It is not our job to label. That's God's job. He'll figure it out all later. But what we need to do is cast that net and catch as many fish as we can, and He'll take care of the rest. Be that net. Be that fisher person that catches as many as you can, and tell them by the way you live that you are a follower of Christ. And when Jesus says, "Leave it all and come follow me," do that. whatever is in the way of you following and being sold out to Jesus, get rid of it and come follow Jesus. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have been able to come and worship today. We thank you that we have been privileged to witness the baptism of a young woman who has come to profess her faith in Jesus Christ. We are grateful that her family, many of them, were here today to witness it, to celebrate it with her. We pray that we, as her home church now, will walk alongside of her, love her in the name of Christ, and walk alongside her family and continue to support them in the days, weeks, months, and years to come. We pray, O God, that you will help each and every one of us not to be so concerned with pointing fingers and pointing out the faults of others, but allowing you to take care of that. But our job is just to love people and to bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God, help us to do that each and every day. And we thank you for the symbolism of baptism, the candle which represents holiness and purity and cleanliness, and the candle that's not lit that remains red, a symbol of the sin that's still in the world and that souls still need to be saved. Lord, though our sins are as scarlet, they shall be made as white as snow. Help us to be fishers of people and to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.